ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, from chapter number 6. What was the last verse we did last time? That's 8.1.9 we did? Ah, correct, chapter number 7. 8.1.9 we are supposed to do, okay. So, because the time was coming to a close last time, we didn't discuss on the verse number 8. So that was a very important verse. We'll begin with that. You see, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although there are thousands of verses, there are sections of Bhagavatam which discuss on certain vital aspects about the Supreme Lord or the nature of His devotees or the nature of the relationship between the two and the purpose of the Supreme Lord creating the universe and how in our everyday life we can experience a direct connection with Him. So, what we are trying to do in this Krishna Rasayanam is go through the verses swiftly but dwell on certain important themes that we stumble across as we come through the verses and we put a stop, a halt, and we devote more time to them. Like you see in this chapter, in the few verses from 8 onwards, we are going to read about the power of Lord Kurma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is one theme in this chapter. Another theme is how Lord Shiva is a compassionate Vaishnava. His compassion for the suffering souls. That is another highlight theme in this chapter. Similarly, in the next chapter, 8th chapter, there is a very vital theme, two vital themes there. One is Rama evaluating the quality of the jivas, different jivas, comparing them. And ultimately she is doing that to highlight how Lord Vishnu is spotless. Spotlessly, anavadyam, anavadyatma. It's completely pure. By reading that section of Rama, evaluating different jiva's qualities, our respect and love for the Supreme Lord will tremendously increase when we know what type of personality He is. So that is one highlight in the next chapter. Another highlight in the next chapter is also the behavior of the demons as opposed to demigods becomes very evident in the next chapter, 8th chapter when we read. So we are planning to devote time in understanding the in this now we were in 7th chapter. So these two themes we will complete today. One is the power of Lord Kurma, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also compassion for the suffering souls. Lord Shiva's compassion really teaches a very deep impression to the Vaishnava devotees about His compassion. There are a few verses on the compassion. So we will be able to complete the 7th chapter today. And the next sitting we will complete the other two, that is 8th chapter, Rama evaluating the jivas and the demoniac nature of the demons, we'll discuss. And then once we complete that, subsequently one more chapter we will take is Mohini Murti. There is a 9th chapter, Mohini Murti's appearance and dealing. After that we will do, so probably in 3 sittings we will complete this Samudra Manthan Leela. So we will recite the 8th verse now. Of the 7th chapter. It's a very beautiful verse. विलोक्य विघ्नेश विधिं तदेश्वरो दुरंतवीर्यो विततापिसन्धिः कृत्वा वपुः कच्छपमद्भुतं महत् प्रविश्यतोऽयं गिरिमुज्जहार।
Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain.
Yeah. You see, here there are three words used here. One is Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim, he says. The word Vignesha Vidhim means the Lord saw that there is an obstacle, Vigna. But Vignesha Vidhim means that Lord who has a solution for every obstacle. There is no obstacle for him for which he has no solution. For example, as soon as the Lord saw, oh, the Mandara mountain has no base. When the demigods and demons are churning it, the mountain is going down, slipping and going down without any shelter at the bottom to comfortably place upon. So immediately the Lord understood that the form of the tortoise is suitable for lifting of the mountain in water. Immediately he could arrive at a solution. Generally in this world, when we are faced with a vigna, we don't have immediate solution. We consult many other people for a solution. And even they also may offer some solution, but they may not be very sure. They may themselves be confused, and they may confuse you even more also in this world. So, and there are some solutions available, but they are not immediate. They may eventually solve the problem over a period of time. Whereas here the Lord is called Vignesha Vidhim, who has a solution for every problem, and solution is immediate. And there is no solution that he does not know. There is no problem for which he has no solution. So, that is why Srila Prabhupada used to call about the holy name as a Sarvaroga Nivarani. Sarvaroga Nivarani means it is actually like a one-stroke solution to all problems. And why Prabhupada said that? Because, one example Prabhupada gives. Generally, people think this material body has some problems. If we sort it out, then I can lead a very happy life. But Prabhupada says, not that material body has some problem, material body itself is a problem, he says. And he gives an example for this. He says, sometimes a ghost has to be removed by an exorcist. So he uses some till. What do you call that? Sesame seeds. He uses to throw on the person and remove the ghost. Prabhupada says sometimes the ghost enters the sesame seed only. Then you have to throw away the sesame seed only. You can't use it. Similarly, he says, we use our material body to get pleasures. But once you awaken in spiritual life, you understand that the material body itself has problem inherently. Then one understands actually the material body repeatedly is acquired by the jiva, sadasad yoni janmasu. Because of what? Karanam guna sangosya. So I have to become gunatit like Krishna. Krishna is gunatit, means one who is beyond guna. Krishna is maya adish, we are maya vash. We are captured by maya. Krishna is beyond maya. So we also can become gunatit, provided our only commodity for exchange with the Supreme Lord is love. Then we can also go beyond the three gunas. But as long as we want to have some material commodities in exchange for our devotion to Him, we will certainly be under the three gunas. Correct now. But still the Shastras encourage even those with material desires to go to Supreme Lord. Why? Because the Supreme Lord will eventually purify our material tendencies and uplift us to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, where our only commodity of exchange will be pure love. So that is actually the meaning of Nibritta Gunavrittaye. Who says that? Kunti Manani says that, isn't it? What is that verse? Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye namaha. So on that platform, beyond the three gunas, one can understand how the Lord is the source of everything. Lord is the source of ultimate bliss. So in this way, for such a devotee, there is no vigna at all, because Lord becomes Viloka Vignesha Vidim Tadeshwaro, he says. He becomes a Vignesha Vidim. He knows the Vidhi means the solution. Vignesha Vidhi means he knows the solution for every problem. He can solve all kinds of problems. That is one word used here. So Lord saw what to do with the mountain floating in water and not staying stably. Immediately he arranged for himself becoming a Kurma, he says. Another word is used, Duranta Viryo, second line, you see in that same verse. Duranta Virya, what is the meaning of the word Duranta Virya? Unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible. Vitatapisandaihi, Vitatapisandihi. Vitatapisandihi means, that's the third word used. Vitatapisandihi means, one whose desires are always fulfilled. Like we say, aptakam. Kam means desires. Aptakam means as soon as he desires, his desires are fulfilled immediately. Without any inhibitions. Nobody can stunt his desires. Whereas the jivas in this world, our desires are stunted by our own past karma, which limits our enjoyment. Sometimes our desires are stunted by some so-called enemy who may come block our happiness. Or a competitor, isn't it? Or sometimes our desires are stunted by our limited competence in some area. Whereas the Lord's desires are never to be stunted. As soon as he desires, they are immediately fulfilled. That's called avitata abhisandhihi. That's one word used. Duranta virya means the Lord has unlimited power. Why unlimited power? That is explained. You can imagine the Mandara Parvat was so difficult to be lifted by the Devatas and Asuras. They dropped it down and they broke their hands and legs when they were bringing it. But the Lord very easily kept it on his top as a Kurumavatara. Such a huge mountain. And it posed no difficulty for him. Sometimes you see the picture of one man called Atlas carrying the sky on his shoulder. In the Greek mythology, they have somebody like that carrying the sky on their shoulder, isn't it? Standing on a mountain top. And he's finding it very cumbersome, very painful. Like you have seen this coolie people carrying a big sack along with a hook kind of thing, they will lift it. Of course, they carry the weight from one place to another and then they drop it as quickly as possible. Correct, no? Because it's painful to carry such a big burden. So this Atlas is waiting. Is there someone who can substitute me in a way in lifting this weight? And who comes there? One Hercules. So he is requesting Hercules, just hold for a while. I will come back. Then he puts Hercules there and he runs away. And that fellow is now bearing the mountain. He is struggling. So Prabhupada said, when Krishna has to carry the Govardhan Parvat on his hands, you know, he doesn't have to have biceps and a, you know, big muscle display for lifting that weight of Govardhan. He can lift it like a mushroom lifted by a child. In the same manner, for the Kurma Avatar also, this mountain did not pose any difficulty. How? That you will see in the following verses. Read the translation of 9th one.
Hare Krishna. When the demigods and demons saw that Mandara mountain had been lifted, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island.
Yeah. Two points here. One is, the demigods and demons are agreeing to align with the Lord's plan. So anyone who agrees to align with Lord's plan, they will certainly be helped by the Lord whenever they are in difficulty. Like you are taking to chanting Hare Krishna, reading the Shastra, living in a community of devotees. So you have shown your alignment with the Lord, agreement to walk the path that He has laid for you. So naturally, whenever there is some difficulty on the way, you can expect some help from the Lord, surely. Like here also it is said that the demons and demigods became energized and enthused. So when you have difficulty, you are morose. When the difficulty is cleared up, you are joyful. Similarly, in the path of devotion service, the difficulties should be accepted as opportunities to remember the Lord, remind ourselves of the Lord. Otherwise, we have a tendency to become complacent and forgetful. Correct? No? So, let the difficulties come. Let us remind ourselves and become more intense in our remembrance and seriousness. Then immediately we get help. Then we get enthused, encouraged, energized. Then we can again pursue our devotional service. In this way, this pastime shows not only when Lord became Kurma, but as and when the demigods and demons faced difficulty, the Lord was right there to help them. Maybe we cannot see the Lord with our eyes, but we can see that He is available for our help in clearing up our path, in the path of spiritual life. Otherwise, we won't be sitting so coolly and hearing a lecture now. You would have gone away long ago. We have been facing some difficulties, getting some help. Again facing difficulties, getting help. So this whole pastime illustrates that one point. Another point that is mentioned is, such a vast 800,000 miles, as he says here, the mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise. The back of the tortoise had a platform which was extending to such a vast island type of thing, which is actually comparable to the Jambudvipa plain. So such kind of vastness in size of a tortoise will be unbelievable for a non-devotee. Non-devotee may consider, how is such a thing possible? So that's why Prabhupada gave the story of the two frogs. One frog returned from Atlantic into a small well where another frog lived. So the Atlantic frog was thinking, look at this small tiny well. So when he met the other frog, the other frog asked him, where are you from? He said, I am from Atlantic, he said. Atlantic, what is that place? Is it another well? He asked him. No, it's not another well. It's an ocean, he said. Ocean, what does it mean? Because he had never seen the ocean. So he said, ocean means it's very vast. And this frog asked, how big it is? Then he bulged his body and asked, is it this big? He said, this big, this big. Then finally what happened? His belly burst open. So in one place Prabhupada says like this, in another place Prabhupada says that this well frog, he asked the Atlantic, is it this well size? Or maybe double this well? Or maybe triple this well? And then when the frog said, no, not even triple, far beyond that. Then the frog said, no, 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 you are just joking. It is just not possible. Why? Because it cannot fit into my head. Because I have 200 grams of grey matter. If it doesn't fit in this, then it cannot exist. So, in the same manner, Prabhupada says, humans generally think of all the truths mentioned in the Shastra from their own angle. Like somebody went in a rocket up in the sky and said, we didn't find demigods, we have come down now. As if they have found out there are no demigods around. There are demigods even right now here. Wherever the Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken, wherever the Lord is glorified, the demigods are present immediately, Srila Prabhupada said. So when such truths are mentioned in the scriptures, they may be too fantastic for an atheist to believe or a speculator to believe. Because the speculator has to depend on his tiny brain to fit everything. And whatever doesn't fit in his brain, it doesn't exist for him. Because his brain is very limited. Correct? No? But the Shastras say, devotees of God should become Udara Dhi. Dhi means intelligence. Udar means very magnanimous or magnificent, very great size. Like we think in terms of 3.11 trillion, 40 billion years of lifespan of Brahma, in which Brahma lives and dies, and Mahavishnu, for him it is only one exhalation, one inhalation. Yas yaika nishvasita kalamata avalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda natha. He's saying, yasya eka, eka means one, nishvasita means breathing. Yasya eka nishvasita kalam means the time duration. Avalambya means dependent upon. So Brahma is dependent upon one exhalation inhalation of Mahavishnu. And jivanti, all the living entities survive in this world. In that period, loma vilaja, from the pore holes of Mahavishnu, the universes are coming. And in each universe there is Jagadandanatha. Who is Jagadandanath? Who? No, Brahma. Jagadandanatha is Brahma. Jagat anda natha. Jagat anda is actually the Brahmanda. And for each universe a leader is created. Who is? Brahmaji. And the Brahma with folded palms is worshipping Lord Vishnu, Mahavishnu. He is coming out from the pores of Mahavishnu, entering back. And that period is 3.11 trillion, 40 billion years. So Prabhupada used to say that devotees of the Lord gradually become very broad in their intelligence because they can think at that level. Correct? No? Compared to that lifespan of Brahma, what is our lifespan? How tiny it is. So, in this way, our shastras talk about more and more vast scale, big size. Similarly, Matsyavatar, you hear about how long, how wide he was. Lord could exhibit such a... So, how do we understand and fit in our head? How do we comprehend this with our limited brain? For that, we have to see vast things which are perceivable to our eyes first. Go and stand in front of the ocean. You can see ocean is not a human creation. It's a God's creation. Sometimes a human being may make a dam and block the water. Yesterday when we were coming, we saw a place where we stopped for a short while in a dam. And it appeared like ocean, but actually it's not ocean. They have stored water in a vast space. Human being can imitate to some degree, but the ocean is enormously vast, beyond our imagination. And that is why human beings who are amazed and awed by Lord's creation, they go to ocean and sit in the ocean beach. Correct? Just to watch how powerful it is. Like in a ocean, you will see the ocean doesn't swell beyond its brink. Correct? Prabhupada was standing in front of the Pacific Ocean. Prabhupada said, just see, this ocean is so vast. In a moment, this ocean can devastate the entire state or the country also. But it doesn't, because the Lord has ordered him. This is the Lakshman Rekha for you. Don't cross this. You cannot cross this. Lord has drawn a line for the ocean. Of course, one may ask, then how did tsunami come? That is also by Lord's order only. If living entities become too mischievous, then the Lord orders them, now you go beyond the brink. But that doesn't happen every now and then. It's very occasional. On an average, normally if you see, the ocean doesn't swell beyond its brink, you will see that. So, one should see such, go and see the Grand Canyon. Any of you have seen Grand Canyon? There is one devotee there. So, go and see Grand Canyon, see large valleys, see the huge mountains, see the vast oceans. So, when we don't stay in a small house, but we go out and see the vastness of Lord's creation. Some people similarly see in the planetarium, the innumerable millions of planets floating. So when one sees the magnificence of the creation, one can develop some faith in the Supreme. Like Prabhupada once explained, how the sun is 24,000 times bigger than the earth. It's a very big ball of fire. And it is 93,000 million miles away. And it is moving at a pace of 16,000 miles in 1 second. Can you imagine in 1 second it moves 16,000 miles? So that is the speed at which the sun is moving also. So This information Prabhupada says in his lecture that he got from the scientists. It's basically information given by the scientists. Even scientists, when they become aware of what kind of things are existing in this world, not created by you or me, but created by the Lord. So the Lord, who is the source of such vast and big and massive creations like the sun and the universe and the ocean and the canyon and all these things, for him to possess a body like this, kurma, and perform a leela is not very wonderful. It is not very difficult. He can do anything at his own will. So in this way, read the next, next verse, we will recite this verse. Sura Surendra Irvuja Virya Vepitam Paribramantam Girimanga Prishtadha Paribramantam Girimanga Prishtataha Bibratta Davar Tanama Adikachapo Meninga Kandu Yanama Prameyaha.
O King, when the demigods and demons, by the strength of their arms, rotated Mandara mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as a means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation.
Yeah. So, he was an extraordinary tortoise. He looks like a tortoise, but not an ordinary tortoise. He's an extraordinary tortoise. When Lord becomes a tortoise, he becomes extraordinary tortoise. When the Lord becomes a fish, he becomes extraordinary fish. Why? Because he's a speaking fish. And he's a growing in size fish. Who grows very... Every fish may grow, but this fish is a very strange fish. Why? Because it grows too big. You know, from a small vessel to a pond and to a river and to a ocean. So extraordinary fish. Similarly, as a tortoise is... extraordinary tortoise. Similarly, dwarf, there are many dwarfs you might have seen in the circuses. But Vamana is a very special type of dwarf. Why? Because suddenly he grows so huge, from earth to sky. So, Lord is extraordinary. Another reason why is he called as extraordinary is this. He says that, see in the Purport Prabhupada says, such a large mount, largest of the mountains Mandara Parvati is carrying on his back, but he doesn't feel any inconvenience. Imagine, even if a small mountain is kept on your back, how will you feel? You are made to lie down on the ground and they keep a small mountain over you. And keeping mountain itself is difficult for us to bear, and somebody rotates it and, you know, removes your skin with that. How will you feel? Naturally, not only we'll feel inconvenience, we'll feel miserable. Probably we will not survive also. But he's saying, on the contrary, he apparently felt some itching. And thus the rotation of the mountain was certainly very pleasing, Prabhupada is saying. So, not only the Lord didn't feel pain, but on the contrary, he felt pleasure. Sometimes your hand is unable to reach your back to scratch. Some friend helps you to scratch behind. You feel some pleasure. Similarly, the Lord felt, now I had an itching sensation on my back. Kurma is thinking, now this mountain is... like that, is rotating on his back when they are doing churning of the milk ocean. And he's feeling such a great relief. And when he's taking a long breath, then the ocean waves are produced. They go a long distance. So like this, the Kurma Avatar. So when the devotees of the Lord hear such pastimes like this, their love for the Lord is awakened. Increased by Lord's amazing vinod, the wonderful behavior of the Lord. And in each of the pastime, the Lord exhibits this type of amazing behavior to charm the heart of the devotees and to trick and punish the demons. Like for example, you all know, when Maya Danava was creating a invisible type of three platforms he had created, three planes in which he kept all the asuras. Invisibly they would attack the demigods. So Lord Shiva was commissioned by the demigods, and they brought him with a friend in a chariot. So Shiva took his bow and arrow, and he was trying to hit the demons, but they were invisible. Very difficult to know where they are. Huh? But then somehow Shiva would kill the demons, but he would put them in a pond which was filled with some kind of special type of elixir, some nectar, in which when he would dip the demons, they would come back to life. Again, he would send them to one of the platforms. Again, the demon would fly back. So Shiva was getting frustrated. He put his bow and arrow down. He thought, it is useless for me to kill these fellows, because every time I kill, my efforts are thwarted again and again, because they are brought back to life again and again. Like sometimes, when we were small kids, we used to do this gardening. In the garden, sometimes once when we were doing gardening, we saw on a tree this ash color caterpillars. We were shocked, my lord, how many of them? Practically the whole bunch of practically around 50, 60 caterpillars clinging to the tree. Our whole body was trembling, all hair will stand on end. Any of you have fear for caterpillar here? Only few, only 2-3 fellows have fear. Others, I think they enjoy caterpillar, I think. Isn't it? And they multiply like anything. In a certain season, they multiply. They move like this, they move. So, similarly, the demons were multiplying. And Shiva was wondering what to do. He was repeatedly thwarted. At that time, Lord Vishnu and Brahma became a cow and a calf. So, in the middle of the battlefield, have you ever seen a cow and a calf running? And the cow was very swiftly running, and the calf also was following him, her behind. Very beautiful sight to see, cow and a calf together. And everybody was amused by that sight. Such a warfare is going on, and heads are flying, arrows are flying, in between a cow and a calf. Who are they? Where have they come from? What are they doing in the battlefield? Nobody knew. But very little did Mayadhana know the secret about Vishnu and Brahma becoming cow and calf. They simply came in front of that nectar lake and they drank away all the nectar. Right in front of the eyes of Mayadhana, Mayadhana just didn't understand what's happening, you see. And they drank away. Now Mayadhana had no more facility to revive the demons back to life. So all the demons died and Shiva became very enthused now. So he's called as Tripurari. Tripura Ari means one who kills the Mayadhana and his team of asuras who are in three platforms, Tripura Ari. He's called, Lord Shiva is called Tripura Ari. So in this way, Lord Vishnu encouraged Shiva by providing him a facility to drink away all the nectar. Now somebody may say, why should Lord Vishnu do like this? Instead, Lord Vishnu can come and help Shiva by releasing his chakra and killing, you know, Maya Dhanava and all the asuras. That also Lord Vishnu is capable of doing. But sometimes while doing Leela, the Lord wants to have some fun also, along with having Leela. And he also gets fun and he gives fun to his devotees also. That is why that verse from Padma Purana, Mad Bhakta Vinodartham, he says. Vinodartham means, I charm the heart of my devotees by doing such Leelas. He says, Mad Bhakta Vinodartham Karome Vividaha Kriyaha, he says. I do various activities. And charm the heart of my, enchant the heart of my devotees. Okay, what is the purpose of enchanting? If my devotees get enchanted by me, they will not be enchanted by Maya anymore. And they will be, because Maya appears very colorful by her movements, by her activities in the material world, and she is called glittering illusion. But that is only, all that glitters is not gold. We say, no, Maya's glamour is for fools. So she is glittering and attracting, but Lord says she is able to glitter because she is reflecting my, you know, my shaktis. So when I will show my real charm, then my devotees will be attracted. So the purpose of Lord doing such pastimes like this is to charm the heart of devotees. So devotees develop faith in him, devotees develop faith in his shelter, in his protection, in his power. Lord is supremely powerful. He is indefeatable. He is also Duranta Vireya. The earlier verse. What are the three words we used? Vignesha Vidim, Duranta Virya, Avitabhi Sandhihi. Three words are used. Avitabhi Sandhihi means his desires are always fulfilled without failure. and he has unflinching determination, and there is no problem for which he has no solution. Yes, so in this way, the Kurma Lord is explained very beautifully, and Chakravarti Thakur says the rotating of the very heavy mountain on his back did not give Kurma pain, but rather it was pleasurable for him. Let's go to the 11th verse. Tata surana vishada surena rupena tesham balavīryam irayan uddipayan devaganamscha vishnur daivena nagendram abodha rupah.
Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy.
Yeah. So you can see how Lord is so merciful. Right from the beginning to end, you will see the Lord is attentive to his devotees. And as and when they face difficulty, Lord is there, right there to immediately offer them help. Like he became Kurma below the mountain. Now he is adding another help to them. He is seeing that the Vasuki is the snake. The snake's body is getting abraded against the mountain while moving, while churning. It's like if somebody takes a stone and brushes against your body, naturally you will get bruises all over your body. So because Vasuki is wide awake now, he has thousands of hoods, and his body is getting abraded, he is feeling pain. So he is putting Vasuki in illusion. Because in illusion, Vasuki will not feel any pain, he will go to sleep in illusion. Similarly, in the material world also, people are working very hard. Like in the train, you can see in Bombay how people are hanging out. And they are traveling. If you and I try to do that, we will get tired very quickly. You will see that. How many of you have observed people in passion able to work very hard while people in goodness get tired in such passionate activities? You have seen that? Correct, no? On the other hand, people in goodness get great joy in doing activities in goodness. Like devotees, you tell them to chant and dance in kirtan, they can go on for hours together. And in doing punya activities like climbing up Tirupati Balaji, or some Matajis have seen, they come and circumambulate 108 times the temple. Even some pregnant women come and circumambulate sometimes 108 times. So those who are in Sattvaguna, for them, the pious activities are very easy for them to do, and they are willing to exert themselves. On the other hand, the passionate people, they work very hard in material life, but you tell them to chant one round, they cannot chant. You know, they will consider, you know, chanting one mala like climbing a big mountain. Like one boy used to come to our program in IIT. So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj asked, how many rounds you chant? 16? He said, no, 8, he said. Later on we came to know it was not 8 rounds, only 8 times he was chanting. That's all, 8 mantras only he was chanting. That, because Prabhuji asked, how much time it takes for you, you know, to chant 8 rounds? Oh, that's I finish in 5 minutes, he said. Yeah, Prabhuji was wondering, how 5 minutes, how can you finish? Show me, he said. Then he showed how he chants, isn't it? So, you ask Gaurang Prabhu in his preaching, he used to bring boys to 8 times mantra, 24 times mantra, 48 times, then 1 round. For them, 1 round means, my Lord, they have achieved a very big status in spiritual life. To say that. So, but you tell them to keep awake whole night, they are ready. Till morning 3 o'clock, they'll be playing volleyball, football, or they'll be, you know, doing night out and doing their study, correct? No? They have material ambition, they have a lot of energy. Spiritual platform. So each and every one of us in our life, we get energy from either Sattvaguna or Rajoguna or Tamaguna. Vasuki's performance is best in Tamaguna. That's why Lord put Vasuki to sleep. So in illusion, he will not mind his body being upgraded. Like Prabhupada gives the example of the camel. The camel, while eating the cactus, cactus appears like soft, but the soft cactus has got thorns. So the thorns tear the gum of the camel. And it is bleeding, drinking his own blood. The camel is thinking that the juice of the cactus is very wonderful. Correct, no? And he enjoys. So only in illusion a camel is able to enjoy. So in the same manner, Prabhupada compares this cactus pleasure to sex pleasure. And he also compares it to the business magnates who work day and night. Sometimes they work 16 hours a day. We call it as a burning the midnight oil, we say, no? Students also sometimes. So passionate people are able to exert themselves, bleeding practically, we can say. And they think they are getting delight. So that is where that's how the passion works. So what did the Lord Vishnu do? Demigods were surrendered to him, so Lord increased their goodness. Because the more you increase goodness, they will be enthusiastic in doing work. And devotees of the Lord, for Lord's sake, they can work very hard. So Lord gave them goodness. And for the demons, Lord gave passion. Because they have to be passionate to achieve their fruits of their endeavor. So their eyes are fixed on their fruits, they can work very passionately. And Vasuki, the Lord put Vasuki to sleep. So Vasuki was an illusion of sleep. So in this way, Lord entered each of them and provided them energy very mercifully, so that they will all be able to do their project of churning the milk ocean. Read the 12th translation. 12th and 13th.
Hare Krishna. Manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara mountain like another great mountain and held Mandara mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, king of heaven, and other demigods, offer prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him.
Now some of you may have a question. If all the devatas were pulling the Vasuki, then how can they stay in the sky and shower flowers? So it's explained in the purport. If you see, Chakravarti Thakur says that Lord Brahma, Shiva, King Indra, they expanded themselves and showered flowers in the Lord. Devatas have such abilities. 13th verse, translation.
The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord, who was above and below the mountain, and who had entered the demigods, the demons, Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way.
Yeah. In the same manner, in the 18th verse also later it is mentioned, from the churning of the ocean, which disturbed the fish, sharks, tortoises, snakes, all of them, even the whales, water elephants, crocodiles and timingala fish, all these things were agitated in the ocean, it is said. So, similarly in our spiritual life also, in case a disciple takes initiation from a guru, we can have our relationship very closed and not yet properly awakened. Sometimes the spiritual life appears to be going very smooth, and there is no much problem because the relationship is not awakened yet properly with Guru, with Krishna, with the Shastras. You ask somebody how is spiritual life, they say going on. So the routine may be going on, doing something basic. But this Samudra Manthan Leela talks about how the demons and demigods, they are having churning of the milk ocean, and out of that so many different creatures are agitated. Similarly, when a devotee lives in the community of devotees and actively participates in Krishna consciousness by doing some dedicated services, then the interaction with devotees happens. When the interaction with devotees happens, that is the time there will be some situations where you have mutual respect for each other. Then there will be some situation where there will be some mutual quarrels and misunderstandings will be there. And misunderstandings lead to offenses. And mutual agreements and respect gives encouragement and enthusiasm. So there is a tug of war that goes between the two. Like somebody says, I don't want to come to temple because I have problem with this devotee, some people say. And on the other hand, you have something that is encouraging in temple also. Darshan is wonderful, Abhishek is wonderful, festivals are wonderful. There are some wonderful devotees also available. So our heart is churned between the two, between lower nature and higher nature, especially when we interact with devotees. So I heard a very sensible statement that Vaishnava etiquettes cannot be practiced in a lonely jungle. They have to be practiced in the community of devotees. If somebody has his family, mother, father, husband, wife, children, family, and they are mostly like a pious materialist. Pious materialist means they are very attentive to material life and they are very neglectful of spiritual life. But they show occasional piety. Occasional piety means occasionally they may visit the temple. And for such people, they have no question to guru at all. They meet their kula guru once in a year living in some mountain to pay a donation and go back. Isn't it? So then what happens, just because such a person's heart is not agitated doesn't mean he has become purified. He is very pious and he may be very gentle, very sweet in speech, everything may be all right with them. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhuji, you know, karmis are better than devotees. See how wonderful they are. In my office, I have a colleague, you know, who is so humble. I think he is practicing Trinadapi Shunichana. He is so humble, so gentle, so well behaved. Look at these devotees, you know. They are so harsh and so rash. So all that devotees may say. But that person in the office, he is not even chanting one round. His churning of the milk ocean has not yet started for that person. So just like your room, you may have one room in your house where you dump things and close the door. That's all, what you call as a go down. And then you may think that, you know, everything is all right at home. But one day you see some kind of millipede is coming out. Somebody says, hey, millipede is coming out, better clean the room, otherwise tomorrow some snakes may come also. Then you open the room and start taking a jhadu, broomstick and dusting the room. Then you'll be coughing like anything. Some people even put a kerchief in the mouth, correct? While dusting a room. And you are coughing, coughing, coughing. A neighbor comes and says, hey, what is the need of opening this room? And what is the need of cleaning the room with a, you know, broomstick? If you never did this, you would be never coughing, they say. Do you think they are intelligent? How many of you feel you have to open the room and you have to remove the dust? Correct, no? Yeah. So yes, we may cough for some time, but eventually the room will be cleaned up fully. Then you can throw water, put some phenol, Dettol, something, and thoroughly clean it, put on the fan and dry the room completely. Then no more vichu, no more snakes, no more millipedes, correct, no? But if you don't clean up the room, you will keep on getting troubles. One day a scorpion will bite you. Another day, a millipede will bite you. Another day, a snake may come and bite you. As long as we keep the room unclean. Similarly, our heart is also like an unclean room. We have to clean it someday. And which is that auspicious day we can clean it? Right from the day you have come in contact with this movement. You have come in contact. Prabhupada, on the day of meeting his guru, first time, Prabhupada was coming down the staircase. What he said? On that very day, I accepted him as my spiritual master. And then Prabhupada started thinking actively how I can serve the mission of my spiritual master. He started thinking very seriously. So, in this way, when you clean up, a lot of dust comes, don't get frightened. Similarly, when one does Krishna consciousness, the heart will, sometimes even while chanting Hare Krishna, dirty things may come in the mind. One may wonder, how is it? I am chanting the holiest names of the Lord. How can such impure things come and occupy? Because the churning of the milk ocean produces both poison and nectar. Both are produced in that. Similarly, chanting of the holy name will bring out dirty things also. It will eventually, just like in an ink bottle, you throw away the ink, still it is blue. Put some water, all the water becomes bluish. But again you put some water and keep cleaning, it becomes sky blue, light blue. Then you keep on putting water, eventually no more blue. And all the water is you know, transparent now. Similarly, our heart also, when you chant, the holy name digs out all the impurities and brings it out. So halahal will come, one shouldn't get frightened. And in this way, when all the impurities are removed, there is no more impurity to be removed. Heart will become completely clean. At that time, when you chant the holy name, you know, all the divine pastimes of the Lord will be revealed. His name, His form, His qualities, pastimes, everything will be revealed. But one has to be very patient. Yeah. So that is why, as I told you, the 18th verse also, all these things are getting agitated. See, till then in that ocean, in that ocean, nothing was agitated, correct? Before, everything appeared calm. Now when the churning of the milk ocean was done, then that agitation took place. Similarly, otherwise it was all milk in the top, correct? There was no problem. Similarly, when you are a pious materialist, how many of you felt before coming to ISKCON when you were pious, you had some feelings of being very religious and pious? Correct, no? Yeah. And you feel, you know, like I used to do Sandhya Vandan 3 times a day, you know, put all this basma all over my body. I used to go to the terrace and sit under the sun and do it. And I thought, I am a wonderful fellow. What a beautiful religious person I am. Similarly, Mataji has put kumkum, chandan, everything, go to the temple, do some, you know, archana for the Lord and come, and they think, I am wonderful, my husband is wonderful, everything is wonderful, our home is wonderful. So when you are on a superficially pious platform, everything looks wonderful. But from a pious platform, you go to the spiritual platform, then the anarthas are brought out. Like you see in South India, they have this Bhakti Tiruvida, they call it. Tiruvida means festival. So Bhakti Tiruvida means they have a Bhakti fest in South India, which goes on for 10 days in a row. Earlier they started in Chennai. Then now they are doing in Coimbatore also. I heard they are doing in different parts of Tamil Nadu now. And Vijay TV people, they capture it and they show it in TV also. And why is it so popular? All great singers come stage and with all the Sarigama Padanesa, you know, that we singing Sarigama Padanesa and singing large songs and all. Along, some people play flute, some people play instruments. There are some short talks also. So many people, even rich people, pious people, stars also, some people come and sit and watch that. It's a very good entertainment. And many people visit temple for entertainment also. Even when we were small kids, we used to go to the temple, because you ring the bell, you take some prasad, you circumambulate the Lord a few times, you feel good about yourself, that I am a pious person, I am a good person. You know, I am not a Nastic, I am an Astic. I have bowed down to Lord. So, and Lord will bring me good results from the exams. My exams will be good, my business will go on well, there will be nothing will go bad in our home. So this kind of pious platform gives a superficial sense of satisfaction. And what is the problem in that? Now any of us can think, why not keep our life at that point? Why to become too serious in spiritual life? Like many mothers and fathers also, when they see their son and daughter chanting 1 or 2 rounds Hare Krishna, they are very happy, correct, no? But only when the rounds increase, they are afraid. When they go to 16 rounds, they fear that, you know, now my son, daughter will not be interested in money making. They are more into man making now, not money making. So, in this way, why not remain in that pious platform? If we remain in the pious platform, there is one very great danger. What is the danger? In our life, if some sudden, unexpected thing happens, somebody had an accident and passed away, or somebody failed in the exam or business, such pious people will immediately drop everything. They will say, God has no eyes, God has no ears, and God is not, you know, God is very cruel to me. Some people even throw away the picture also. And some people, you go to their puja room, it will be catching cobwebs. You will see they stop worshipping and everything. They become like materialists. So their so-called superficial piety is exposed. No more piety. Whereas a devotee of the Lord who is churning the heart like churning the milk ocean, bringing up the halahal, bringing up all the poisonous things, dangerous creatures, getting agitated. When all those unwanted things are removed from the heart, a devotee develops a heart faith in Krishna. That heart faith, when it awakens, he develops heart love also for Krishna. And that love is such a thing, even though there is every possibility of the relationship to break, it never breaks. That is the definition of love. A devotee will never give up Lord's feet, no matter. Lord may take a devotee to the extreme situation, like Ambarish Maharaj. He was about to be killed by that demon. Or you can see Pandavas, they were troubled in so many ways. They never gave up the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the prerogative of a devotee, you see. And that is why it is better for us to elevate ourselves from the platform of pious materialist to a spiritualist platform. So in the platform of a genuine spiritualist, a spiritualist is willing to tolerate the ups and downs that will come in spiritual life. And never leave the lotus feet of the Lord. Just like husband and wife also. It is not that they both are jolly with each other always. There will be problems. Someday there are jolly moments. Other days there are, you know, quarrelsome moments. Sparks are flying. Both may be there. But they know one thing. Today we may fight. Tomorrow we may unite. There may be different situations. But we are not going to go for separation. We have to stay together. We have to please Krishna, Guru, our parents, everyone. So they adjust and go. Similarly, in the path of spiritual life, the difficulties that come are orchestrated by Krishna to purify the devotee. See, Lord would have easily given the Amritam to the devatas, and he was capable of giving also, easily. But the Lord wants the devatas to get purified before accepting the Amritam. So one of the things that he did for purifying them was to tell them to follow those four things. You should be obedient to all that I am telling you. You should be not fearful when halahal comes. You should not feel angry towards the demons who may snatch some of the gifts and go away. And you should not be greedy for the gifts. Only when I give you, you should accept. When I don't give, you know, don't chase after the gifts that will come from the milk ocean. So Lord actually wanted the demigods to become obedient and surrendered and purify their heart to a point where they can strictly follow these rules told by him. And then in this way, and then when demigods obeyed, the Lord is showing them, see, you are obeying me, so I will cooperate with you. I will also help you. That means in our purification of the heart, we are not alone. It's a joint project between the soul and super soul. Super soul will give us smriti. He will give us jnanam. And from our side, we should do our cheshta, our endeavors. So our endeavor, plus Lord says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. It's a collaborative project. So the Jiva and the God are co-workers in purification of our heart. So Jiva should desire purification and the Lord will cleanse the heart from his side by providing all facilities. So like this, and they were all agitated. Next translation.
Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths, he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons headed by Pauloma, Kaleya, Bali and Ilvala. Thus the demons, who appeared like Sarala trees burnt by a forest fire, gradually became powerless.
Yeah. See, this verse has a connection to the previous 8.7.2 we read. Hari Prastha Jagrihe Purvam Devastato Abhavan. That is 8.7.2. It is said that Lord Ajita, he first grasped the head portion of the snake and the devatas also followed him. And why did the Lord grasp the head portion of the snake? There is a reason. Because the Lord wanted the demons to grasp the head portion. That is why it is said. Chakravarti Thakur says that. Very amazing, no? See, Lord in the beginning only could have taken the tail side. But why the Lord took the head side? Because he knew that demons will demand for the head side. That is why he took the head side, he says. And then demons went to the tail side. And then what did the demons say? That is 8.7.3, we read. Tan naichan daityapatayo maha purusha cheshtitam. Ta naichan daityapatayo. The daityapati means the leader of the demons did not like that Lord is taking the head side and giving it to the devatas. He didn't like that idea. Na grihina, na grihinimo vayam pucham, ahe ranga mamangalam, he says. We will not catch the tail side of the snake. It is inauspicious. Like that, the demons shouted. Why? Swadhyaya shuta sampannaha prakhyata janma karma bihi. Because we have a high birth as demons and we are very popular for our activities, and also we are swadhyaya shuta sampanna. We are very highly learned. Like that the demons were saying. And then the immediate verse 8.7.4, it says, iti tushnim stitan daityan. When all the daityas, they stood still and they boycotted. They said, they dropped the Vasuki's tail side down and they all stood still and said, now we boycott. They are going on a strike. Vilokya purushottamaha. Vilokya means the Lord Vishnu looked at demons, what are they doing? Smayamano visrajyagram. Smayamano means Lord smiled. And why did the Lord smile? Because Lord was thinking while smiling that you guys will die because of the intense poison, since you have such pride. Like that the Lord thought. Lord knew that when I take the mouth side of the Vasuki, these fellows will demand. And when they demand, I will give them. When they get it, now the smoke will come. And when the poisonous smoke will come, many of them will drop dead. And many of them will struggle and suffer. And why are they suffering? Due to their own pride, they are suffering. So here we learn one very important lesson in our life. Many times in this world, our hard work that people do is motivated by others' success. People generally think whether I succeed or not is not the point, but that fellow should not succeed. And people sometimes, they don't look at their own prasadam plate, they look at another's plate. Wo kitna kata hai? Can you compete with other people? See, there are some devotees who can take 10 chapatis. Can you take 10? Or 15 chapatis? You have to eat what you can digest, no? Isn't it? So, and children actually are sometimes naughty. They do that. Like, you know, he has one lollipop and the other fellow has two lollipops. And he's crying, Mom, he has two, I have only one. Mom says, first you finish one, I'll give you one. No, I want one for each hand now. You know, because he has got two. Similarly, the demons are always competitive in nature, and that competition comes from false pride. False pride leads to competition. Competition leads to envy. So, in this way, Lord knew demons, because of their envious nature, they will be competitive. Purposefully, the Lord held the mouth side, and when they asked for it, Lord laughed at them, smiled and said, you fools, because of your own pride, you are going to suffer, he said. And people in this world, due to false pride, they suffer like anything. People get so many deadly diseases. And there are people at the age of 35, 40, they get a massive heart attack and die. There are people. And all this is because of sudden blood pressure rise, which often happens due to intense competition. See, nowadays in market, people keep very little margin. You know that? There is such a cutthroat competition for sales. People want to keep a lesser margin and sell a bigger quantity and become very popular in the field. So in the same manner, he says that the demons are competitive by nature, and Lord smiled at them at that time. Now, same thing what the Lord thought has happened here now. Their bodies were burnt by like a forest fire. Come to verse number 15. Devam satachva asashikha hata prabhan dhumrambarasrag varakanchukananan samabhyavarshan bhagavat vashagna samabhyavarshan bhagavat vashaghana vavu samudror myupagudhavayavah.
Yeah. Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of Vasuki, their bodily lustres diminished, and their garments, garlands, weapons and faces were blackened by smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared on the sea, pouring torrents of rain and breeze. Breeze blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods relief.
You see, in this world, the non-devotee demons, they create havoc, and the devotees also have to suffer a part of it. Like you are living in a Pune city, there are so many vehicles. The pollution limit is 75 or something. It has gone beyond 250 now. In many places, they have put pollution meters. Where is 75? Where is 250? It has become extremely poisonous. They say in big cities like Bombay, Delhi and all day if you are in the streets, the night you can take 2 crocin tablets of carbon from your nose. Crocin size tablets. From both your nose. So much of pollution is in the atmosphere. So when the the natural arrangement is you can have a bullock cart or a horse carriage. Correct, no? Because horse carriage doesn't produce any pollution. Horses may pass tool here and there, and that is also organic only. Yeah. It just mixes with the sand. There is no problem. But when you convert a horse into horse power by having bikes or by having cars, by having lorries, then they produce pollution which is extremely harmful. Just like the Vasuki was emanating poisonous smoke from his mouth, similarly modern day vehicles are emanating the poisonous smoke of carbon monoxide, isn't it? But then the demons want to use their vehicles to go run here and there for sense gratification. Prabhupada said that the dogs are running on 4 wheels and you are running on 4 wheels. What is the difference? Prabhupada asked. Because one dog is running from here to there for sense gratification, you are also running for the same thing. So, but when the non-devotee demons are running here and there for their sense gratification, they suffer, and the devotees who also have to live in this world also suffer while living. That's what here it is said, the demigods also had to suffer because of the smoke, but they were not so much suffering in comparison to the demons, because sometimes devotees go to farm also sometimes. That is why Prabhupada said we have to increase the varnashram of farm. So half day you be in farm, have good health, and half day come out in city and preach. And the demigods were far away. They were on the tail side of the Vasuki. So they didn't suffer so much, but slightly they suffered. At the same time, the Lord saying this, what he did? See the third line of 15th verse says, Samabhyavarshan Bhagavad Vashaghana means Abhyavarshan. The clouds started drizzling and pouring, not by chance. He says, by Bhagavad Vashaghana, he says. Bhagavad Vasha means by Bhagavad Vash, by being under the control of Vishnu. That means Vishnu told the clouds, pour down now. Then they poured. You see? Just like when Rishabhadev was born, at that time, all over India, at that time India was called by another name, called Ajanabhavarsh. Ajanabhavarsh. So, in Ajanabhavarsh or the Bharata Desh, all the people had come to see the newly born Lord, Rishabhadev. He was praised and profusely glorified by everybody. At that time, nobody was looking at Indra. So, Indra had some little ego problem. Why everybody's eyes are paying attention to Rishabha, Lord Rishabhadev, who is born now. So, he wanted to draw the attention of everybody. So, he made a point. He made a policy that there will be not even a single drop of rainfall in entire India in a rainy season. He didn't give a single drop of rain. But who understood it? People didn't understand why rain is not coming. In fact, people are wondering, Lord has appeared, then rain should come. Why rains are not coming? But only one person could understand Indra's motivations. Who? Rishabhadev understood. Smiling to himself, Lord Rishabha looked at the sky and he did like this. Immediately there was a downpour of rain. Because ultimately the rains are under the Krishna's control only. But Indra is an intermediate authority. So Lord sidelined him and Lord asked the rains to be poured. Correct, no? Because he was naughty. So in the same manner it is said, when Lord Vishnu saw that demons and demigods are suffering due to the smoke coming from Vasukis and their bodies are getting burnt up. So Lord invited the clouds, please drizzle now. And then there was a drizzling. And everybody felt very nice. And again demigods and demons, the heat in their body reduced. And because of the drizzling, they felt a very nice, joyful experience. Sometimes you can see when rainy season starts, children go out and they dance in the rain. You have seen that? Parents are shouting, "Hey, come inside, you will get cold." They say, "No problem, no problem," they are dancing. Similarly, sometimes drizzling is a very pleasurable experience. So the demons and demigods again became energized by that. And 16th verse. Matyamana tata sindhor deva suravaru tapaihi yada sudhana jayeta nirmamanta jita swayam.
When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Ajita personally began to churn the ocean.
Yeah. The nectar did not come out first because, first of all, the impure parts have to be taken out. Then only the Amritam will come. Nobody can expect Krishna Prem to come in our hearts without our removing the anarthas. You know, the six children of Devaki are all asuras, sons of Kalanemi, you know. So they have to be removed from the womb first. And once they are removed, then Balaram Guru will come, and then only the Lord Krishna will appear. Similarly, in this Samudramantan Leela, first the Halahal will come, all the Anarthas will come. They are like the six children of Devaki, right? Then Balaram Adi Guru comes. Similarly, here Shiva comes, who is Charachara Guru. He is called as the Guru of entire Charachara, Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu. And after Balaram comes Krishna, similarly Amritam comes. Finally, after Shiva comes, he takes away the Halahal, then Amrita comes. So similarly, our Guru helps us to remove all the Anarthas from our heart. And then after the Anarthas are removed, it becomes a fit place for Lord Krishna to descend. Similarly, Amritam comes out, finally. So that is why it cannot be churned only by devatas and asuras. Lord Ajita himself came and churned, he says. He helped them. Yeah. Now there is a very beautiful description about how the Lord looked like. I read it. Read the translation. We will recite that verse. Megha shama kanaka paridihi karna vidyota vidyun murdni brajat vilulita kachaha sragdaro raktanetraha jaitrair dorber jagadabaya dair danda shukam grihitva matran matna pratigiririva shobatatho dhritadrihi.
The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone on his ears like lightning, and his hair spread over his shoulders. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which award fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean. Using Mandara Mountain as a churning rod, when engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indranila.
Yeah. So, the Mandara Parvat was appearing whitish like Kailash Mountain, and Lord Vishnu was appearing like a bluish mountain like Indranil. He appeared like Indranil. So, they both were like two mountains. One was a blue mountain, one was a white mountain. So Lord's beauty was competing with the beauty of that white mountain, he says. Another thing is, you will see the description of the Lord's form, beautifully described here. Like when it is talking about the hand of the Lord, we should never say that, is, you know, if some Maharaja is invited to give away some prizes to the people. What do you say? You say, Hum Parampujya Paramaham Swami Maharaj विनती करते हैं कि उनके कर कमलों से वो सब विद्यार्थियों को पुरस्कार प्रदान करे, करेक्ट ना, जिसे कार्यक्रम लो से. सो वन फेलो आई सॉ वन एमसी वाज मेकिंग अनाउंसमेंट, ही वाज सेलिंग, हम परम पूज्य परमहंस महाराज से विनती करते हैं कि अपने हाथों से विद्यार्थियों के कार्यक्रमों पर बेंट दे दे. सो देन वन डिवोटी कॉट हिम एंड सेड, हे प्रभु जी करकमल किसका है, इज इट महाराज हैंड इज करकमल आर द रिसीविंग हैंड. सो समटाइम्स, सो इन द सेम मैनर यू विल सी व्हेन यू आर टॉकिंग अबाउट द हैंड, पदकमल, करकमल, मुखारविंद, दिस वर्ड्स आर यूज्ड बिकॉज द लोटस इज द मोस्ट टेंडर फ्लवर, मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल फ्लवर, मोस्ट फ्रैग्रेंट फ्लवर, एंड इट इज कंसिडर्ड द किंग ऑफ ऑल फ्लवर्स, विच इज द नेशनल फ्लवर ऑफ इंडिया, या लोटस, या व्हाट इज द नेशनल बर्ड ऑफ इंडिया, पीकॉक, या सिमिलरली नेशनल फ्लवर इज द लोटस, एंड व्हाट इज इस्कॉन सिंबल, लोटस, दैट्स व्हाई, या why iskan symbol is lotus, because krishna's feet are like lotus, and krishna's face is like lotus, krishna's body is compared to lotus. So when you are talking about lord's hand, here it is mentioned that hand which produces abhaya pradan, which gives freedom from all fear, or that lotus feet from which ganga is flowing. So whenever you talk any part of the lord's body, one should, while talking about that part, one should glorify that part also, like you are glorifying the eyes of the Lord. Oh, those very same eyes, simply by the glance of whom the whole material nature is functioning, or all the covered boys were brought back to life, or all. So in this way, one can glorify the eyes or the hand or the feet of the Lord, or that very same chest of the Lord where Goddess of Fortune resides, like that. Are the bhujas of the Lord, the hands of the Lord which Govind the Bhuja Guptayam, one who protects the Dwarka Vasis with his shoulders. So are the blackish locks of curly hair on the Lord's head which increase the beauty of the Lord's face multifold, because of which he is called as Lord Keshava. Correct, no? So in this way, you will find in the Bhagavatam, while talking about the Lord, there are very poetic, beautiful descriptions are given. And this very verse has become very sweet, correct? Very poetic type of verse, because Shukadeva Goswami, while narrating, as soon as he is seeing the Lord's darshan, immediately a nice Raschand Alankar is coming in the mouth, in glorification, immediately. Nir matyamanat udadera bodvisham महोल्बणम हला हलाह्वहम अग्रतः संभ्रांतमीनोन्मकराघिकच्चपात् तिमिद्विपा ग्राहतिमिंगलाकुलात्. सो ऑल दिस डिफरेंट थिंग्स गॉट डॉट एजिटेट लाइक फिश शार्क टॉर्टोइस, ऑल दिस थिंग्स आर सेड. And then a fierce poison called halahala first appeared. Now the halahala is appearing after that. Tadugravegam dishi upariyadho visarpadutsarpadasahyam aprati bhita praja dudruvurangaseshwara. अरक्षमाणाः शरणं सदाशिवम्.
ओ किंग, व्हेन दैट अनकंट्रोलेबल पॉइजन वॉज फोर्सफुली स्प्रेडिंग अप एंड डाउन इन ऑल डायरेक्शंस, ऑल द डेमिगॉड्स अलोंग विद द लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ अप्रोच्ड लॉर्ड शिवा सदाशिव. फीलिंग अनशेल्टर्ड एंड वेरी मच अफ्रेड, दे सॉट शेल्टर ऑफ हिम.
सो this halahala which came up in the ocean, it was spreading its effect up also, which means in the sky and in the land, far and wide in all directions, but the effect of it was coming very gradually, slowly. It was not very quickly spreading, because it is said that if it quickly spread it, the whole universe would be finished, whole universe would be dead. It was gradually spreading, the effect was gradually spreading. And that was observed by the devatas and asuras, and they all got frightened. And they are all going to take shelter of Lord Shiva, including Lord Ajita also. See, these type of sections when one reads, especially those who have a suspicion whether Lord Vishnu is supreme or Shiva is supreme, they have a good chance to get bewildered when they read these type of sections. Now the section. So the question may arise in someone's mind, why Vishnu, who has been becoming Kurma, he became Ajita in the top, you know, he energized Vasuki and all the Devatas and Asuras also. He helped in carrying the Mandara mountain also, putting it on the back of Garuda and bringing it. The same Vishnu could have easily eaten the Halahal also. Why he didn't eat? There are two reasons for this. One reason is, it is said even when Putana comes to feed poison, it is mentioned by Chakravarti Thakurdar, he says that the poison in the breast of Putana was transferred to Shiva. Shiva drinks it. And the milk that Putana wanted to give was drunk by Krishna. So Krishna has a Shiva component also for doing this activity. Just like, for example, the government of India has an education department. It has got a police department both. Education department gives nice education to citizens. And the police department beats up the people and puts them in jail. Correct, no? Similarly, Lord also has different departments. So one of the departments is the poison department, which Shiva can take. Shiva deals with the most vicious elements like the ghosts and the spirits and hobgoblins. And Shiva's associates are like Veerabhadra. You know what Veerabhadra did in Daksha's Yajna? He came and did. So, such a kind of, any atrocious elements have to be dealt with by atrocious forces, and Lord Vishnu does not do it directly. Through the Shiva's forces he does things like that. Similarly, drinking poison also, Krishna does not drink. Krishna only drinks milk from Putana. But the poison component is drunk by Lord Shiva, he says. Similarly, here also, Vishnu has been providing help to the devatas. When something has to be handled like this, like Halahal, instead of Vishnu taking it, he sends his another expansion, which is Shiva, who is called Sadashiva. That's one reason. Second reason is Lord actually wants to show the compassionate nature of Lord Shiva, who is his own pure devotee. There are two, three verses we will show later on, which will come in the same series of glorification of Shiva, where it becomes revealed that Shiva calls himself as a devotee of the Lord. And he says that I am drinking this halahal for the pleasure of Vishnu. That he says that. It will come eventually. So if Shiva is the boss of Vishnu, why should he say that for the pleasure of Vishnu I am doing it? He should say that I am the supreme boss and I am doing it because I like it. You can say, no? He is not saying that. He is saying that Vishnu is my master. And if I do this service, Vishnu will be pleased and all jivas will be protected. So for that purpose I am doing it. Like that he says. But the subsequent verses, what you are going to read now, one can be bewildered because the way Shiva is glorified by the demigods enormously, in that glorification also there are two aspects in a glorification. One is Shiva, for example, Sadashiva is almost close, as close to the Supreme Lord. Is non-different from the Supreme Lord, at the same time different also. How? Like Balaram is non-different from Krishna in the sense that he is the first expansion of Krishna. But he is also acting in the capacity of servant of Krishna. Correct, no? Similarly, Sadashiva, he is a Supreme Lord's direct expansion, but he acts as servant of the Supreme Lord also. Otherwise, Sadashiva is in a Vishuddha Sattva platform actually. He is not like the 11 Rudras who come into this material world and who control the 11 places. He is not like that. Because these Rudras eventually merge back into Sadashiva. Sadashiva and Mahavishnu, they come together. From Narayana, they both expand together at the same time. So, that is why the Sadashiva is considered the purest of the pure. So here the glorification is done for Sadashiva, and certain glorification will be Sadashiva's glorification or one in quality with the Supreme Lord, due to which it's glorified. Like one devotee wrote a mail to me asking, Prabhuji, the second offense, it is said that one should, what is the second offense against the holy name? Anybody? Second Avan says that one should not consider the names of demigods like Shiva and Brahma and everything to be equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. So if you read the Padma Purana, the second Avan says, if one sees Shiva to be different from Vishnu, he is an offender, it says. So now somebody may be wondering, hey, you say that Shiva and Brahma should not be equated to Vishnu, but there it says Shiva should not be seen as different from Vishnu. Which one is correct? So, Urmila Mataji wrote one article in Back to Godhead magazine. In that, she clarifies this question very nicely. She says there that Lord Shiva acts in dual role. Just like any of you sitting here, when you come to temple, you have a spiritual role. You wear a dhoti kurta. You bow down to people and say, Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya, correct, no? And then you discuss about Krishna with the devotees. And then when somebody's name is announced, Haribol, you say. So you have certain behaviors which are unique to you and which you exhibit only when you come to temple. When you go to office, you don't go with dhoti kurta or sari, isn't it? You don't do Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya to anybody in the office. Do you do? Bow down. And it's rare that to see somebody going with tilak to office. Very few people do that. It's extremely rare. And in office, you talk about official matters, technical subjects, material subjects, mundane subjects you discuss. So you all agree you have a double role? One in the karmi world, one in the devotee world. Similarly, Shiva has a double role. Shiva has a Vaishnava role and Shiva has a demigod role. Both roles he plays. As a demigod, he is the adhipati of Tamoguna. And he is included along with Brahma, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, he is included with all of them. And when you take him as Sadashiva, he is one with the Supreme Lord. At the same time, he is also a servant of the Supreme Lord and he is called Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Like a guru, he is one with the Supreme Lord, but he is separate from the Supreme Lord. Sakshat Haritvena. Okay, in what sense guru is one with Supreme Lord? Kintu Praborya Priya Evatasya. Meaning, guru is one with Supreme Lord in what sense? He is so dear to him, so close to him. Like sometimes, Prabhupada would say that, hey, don't ask these small things to me, ask Tamal Krishna, he would say. If Tamal Krishna has told you, you can take it as good as I have told you. He had full, which means father and son have a very tight relationship. So because the father says, if my son says, it is as good as me saying. There is no difference in opinion between us. We both are one. One, not that their bodies are smashed and made into one pulp of blood, flesh and bone. One in spirit, one in consciousness, one in opinion, like that. So Guru and Krishna are like that. Similarly, Shiva and Supreme Lord also. So sometimes we glorify Guru. In India, one famous verse you all know. Guru or Brahma, Guru Vishnu. You heard that? Guru Devo Maheshwaraga Guru Sakshat Parabrahma Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Correct, no? Somebody may say, hey, are they Mayavadis? Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru, isn't it? He's everything. Actually, because Guru is representing Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, everyone, and he is teaching, and he is one with them in quality. That's why he is glorified as Sakshat Haritvena Samasta Shastra, like that. But otherwise, in Tattva point of view, Guru is separate from them. Correct, no? Similarly, the Shiva's Tattva should be understood in the following verses of glorification. So, Arakshamanaha Sharanam Sadashivam, it is said. Because they suddenly found this halahal coming, they all got frightened. And Lord Ajita took all the devatas along with him and they are going to Shiva. Go to verse number 20. Vilokyatam devavaram trilokya vavaya devya abhimatam muninam asina madra vapavarga hetoho tapo jushanam stuti vipranemuhu. See, vilokyatam. Lord Shiva glanced at all the devatas. Deva varam. Amongst the devas, he is the varam. He is the shrestha deva. And tapo jushanam trilokya. In all the three worlds, he is actually he is cherished by the sages who perform severe tapasya, tapojushanam, apavargai hetoho. And why do the sages perform severe tapasya on the guidance of Shiva? Because they are anticipating apavarga, apavarga hetoho. And devya abhimatam muninam. And he is cherished by the sages, which means he is glorified by the sages, worshipped by the sages. He is like muninam gurum, it is said. Jatadaro, tivratapo, muninam gurum, like that Chitraketu glorifies Lord Shiva also. He is jatadari, he has a long jata, and he is tivratapas, and also he is muninam gurum. Here also he is saying that devi abhimatam muninam, all the sages cherish him. And they all serve him by performing severe austerities for gaining liberation. And Lord Shiva is Devavaram. In this way, Stutibihi Pranemuhu. So all the devatas went in front of him and they offered him wonderful prayers, which are coming from 21 onwards. Please read the translation. 21 translation.
The Prajapati said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadev, super soul of all living entities and cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery position which is spreading all over the three worlds.
Yeah. Somebody may say that, you know, hey, Shiva cannot protect because he is a samhara karta. He is a destroyer. Why are you going to a destroyer and asking for protection? Somebody may say. But what they are saying, no. You are a Bhutatman and you are Bhuta Bhavana. Bhuta Bhavana means you are protector of all the jivas, like you are called Bhutanath. Like you save all the ghosts and spirits and give them bodies in this world. You are also called as Bhava. So they are saying that you are not only a destroyer of the universes, destroyer at the time of annihilation. When the universe is active, at that time, you are also a protector. You are Bhuta Bhavana, like that they are saying. Read the next translation.
O Lord, you are the cause of bondage and liberation of the entire universe because you are its ruler. Those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness surrender unto you. And therefore, you are the cause of mitigating their distress. And you are also the cause of their liberation. We therefore worship your Lordship.
Yeah, correct. So, Lord may say, why don't you take shelter of Vishnu? They are saying, actually, there is no difference between you and Vishnu. The only difference is that you are touched by gunas, while Vishnu is not touched by guna. That's the main difference. When Narayana becomes touched by the guna, he becomes Shiva. When he is not touched, he remains as transcendental Narayana, like that. Read further, 23.
O Lord, you are self-effulgent and supreme. You create this material world by your personal energy and you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara when you act in creation, maintenance and annihilation.
Read the next one, 24.
You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation.
Yeah. So, in the section of Hiranyakashipu glorifying Brahma, in the 7th canto, Prabhupada says, sometimes Brahma is glorified as super soul, Brahma is glorified as Vishnu and Mahesh and Brahma. And sometimes when you recite the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram, you will also come across a section like Shivaya Vishnu Rupaya, Shivarupaya Vishnave, like that you will recite. So, are Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh one? Are Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh different? Is Vishnu the Supreme Lord and Brahma and Shiva are lesser than him? So, these kind of questions many people may get in their minds. Sometimes if a Jiva is not qualified, then Vishnu only becomes Brahma. Sometimes. And as far as Shiva is concerned, Shiva is not considered a Jiva. But he is expansion of Krishna, but subordinate to Krishna. So these type, that's why the example of the milk and the curd is given there. And when it comes to talk about the gunas, It is generally considered that the Supreme Lord, who is one, expands himself as three forms, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, when there are no jivas qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. But in case the jiva has occupied that post, you can give the due respect to that jiva as good as giving to Lord Vishnu because of occupying the post. So, for example, when one is made a Ritvik Acharya, for example. Ritvik Acharya means the Acharya is lying in the bed, he is unable to get up from the bed. So one is actually posted as a Ritvik Acharya for officiating the initiation function. So he is allowed to, he is asked by the Acharya to chant the holy names in the beads and give a name to the candidate. And then the mala is handed over to the candidate and the candidate gets a new name and the person bows down to him, but that obeisances is actually to be offered to the Acharya through him. He is supposed to act as a transparent via media like that. And ultimately the disciple is disciple of that guru whom he is officiating. You understand, no? So whenever a jiva is officiating, we should know this fact. But whenever Brahma is non-different from Vishnu, we have to give him the respect of Vishnu. How many of you understood this point? Is clear to you? Yeah. So here, they are glorifying. Another reason Prabhupada says why Brahma glorified, Hiranyakashipu, why he glorified Brahma, that is sometimes chapalusi also. It's called flattering. Sometimes you tell a person more than what he is due for, in order to get some work done. Like if somebody says, आप क्यों नहीं कर सकते हैं आपसे क्यों नहीं हो सकता है लाइक वन टाइम सम टू थ्री साधुस हैड कम फ्रॉम हरिद्वार दे वर रोमिंग इन पूना सो दे वर हैविंग लॉन्ग बियर्ड एंड लॉन्ग जटा एंड एवरीथिंग दे केम टू द टेम्पल एंड दे वर आस्किंग अध्यक्ष कौन है देन आई वॉज अध्यक्ष इन कुंजबेरी टेम्पल सो दे केम टू माई रूम एंड दे सैट डाउन इन द रूम एंड दे वर डिमांडिंग सम डोनेशंस I told them, you only give prasad. You see, take prasad and push off. They said, at least you should give us 1,000 rupees each, at least. Three of us have come, you should give us. So I said, no, I am also a sadhu like you. See, I am also wearing this dress. So you are a sadhu, I am a sadhu. We both are bhikaris. How can one bhikari ask from another bhikari? No? I told them. Still, one of them was very cunning. One of them said, we know very well, you know, you have the chabika guccha in your hand. Aap bolenge tabhi ye log de denge. He was telling like that. He was actually trying to tamper with my false ego. Because he thought that if he praises me that I am the holder of the key, then I may say, okay. Aap logon ka samjhavat sahi samjhavat hai. Then I may open the lock and say, why only 1,000? Take 2,000. That's what he thought I will do. But I told him that, you know, I will give you Jani Prasad also. We will pack and give you. We gave them packed Prasad and sent them away after that. But just as those sadhus are trying to praise me, in the same manner, sometimes Hiranyakashipu praises Brahma beyond Brahma's actual situation. You understand, no? This is called flattery. Flattery is done to get something done. Correct? Not like that. So, sometimes whenever demigods are overly glorified, one should not think that it is true. Because what was spoken at that time was spoken by Rakshasa, which you cannot take very seriously. Because Rakshasa's glorification also becomes mixed with his own mentality. Because he has some cunning mentality of getting something done from Brahma. So, when we read Bhagavatam, we should be careful. Here the demigods are not individual. I mean, they are not glorifying Shiva beyond limits. But they are with Ajita also. They are with Lord Vishnu also. So in this way, when they are glorifying Shiva, we can know that they are glorifying the quality, oneness and quality of Shiva with Vishnu. That part they are glorifying. We can understand. Prabhupada explains like that. Go ahead. Now you read, we'll quickly read the translations. Another 5-6 translations you can read because they are all prayers only. You can read up to, I'll tell you. These are up to 31 you read.
O Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes, and the Mahat Tattva. Your eternal time, determination, and the two religious systems called truth and truthfulness. You are the shelter of the syllable Om, which consists of three letters, a Om. O Father of all planets, learned scholars, know that fire is your mouth, the surface of the globe is your lotus feet, eternal time is your movement, and all directions are your ears, and Varuna, master of the waters, is your tongue. O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head. O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen, and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers and vegetables are the hairs on your body. The Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious systems is the core of your heart. O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated. Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the Supreme Truth known as Paramatma. O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literature, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance. O Lord Girish, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu or the King of Heaven, Mahendra.
Yeah. See, in that purport, Prabhupada gives a very long Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Kotim, he quotes. And he has given the many of the mantras that Mayavadis chant. He has given Mukani Pancho Upanishad Tastavesha. And then in the last part of the purport says, the impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of the material creation, including Brahma, Indra or even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, although everything is an expansion of Him, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam, He does not need to take care of everything. Asaham Teshu Avasthitaha. Since there are various directors like Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, and all these things. So, actually, Lord Vishnu is also an expansion of Krishna, and in certain places, Vishnu's non-difference from Krishna is explained. How Vishnu and Krishna are ultimately supreme and one. But there are some things which are told about Vishnu as subordinate to Krishna. There is one verse in the Bhagavatam which says, Yanmatya leela upayikam svayoga mayabalam darshayata agrihitam vismapanam swasya cha saubhagaridde parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. This verse says, Vishnu becomes vismaya by looking at Krishna's beauty, it says. Vismita, which means he becomes astonished or stunted by seeing the beauty of Krishna. Now somebody may say, hey, Vishnu is an expansion of Krishna only. How he can become amazed? More amazing for you than this information would be, Vasudeva Krishna becomes amazed by seeing Vrindavan Krishna. Vasudeva Krishna resides in Mathura, and Vrindavan Krishna resides in Vrindavan. So Vasudeva Krishna feels that Vasudeva Krishna is four-handed and Vrindavan Krishna is two-handed. So Vasudeva Krishna becomes fascinated by seeing Vrindavan Krishna, it is said. And there is one verse which says in Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Krishna glorifying Vrindavan Krishna also. So which means there is nobody like Krishna who is all-knowing even amongst his expansions. Like here it is said that Vishnu is also acting as the maintainer of the universe, and he may not probably know the affairs of the Brahma Jyoti, which is of another zone. But there is nothing unknown to Krishna anywhere. Balaram, for example, is expansion of Krishna. 1 year he was not aware of Krishna expanding himself as covered boys and calves. Correct, no? In which Leela? Yeah. Can you imagine? Is there anything that Balaram doesn't know? But here you find there is something which even Balaram doesn't know. The only person who can be called as completely all-knowing is Krishna only. Nobody else. In that sense. Yeah. So, and the 32, verse number 32, read the translation. Okay, here I will read the Chakravarti Thakur's translation, very nice. He says, 32, destroying the poison is nothing for you because you have destroyed many places of violence such as Daksha sacrifice. You know, you sent Veerabhadra to destroy Daksha sacrifice. And you have destroyed the city of Tripura, which I told you today. Tripura Ari. And you have killed demons Kala and Gara. So you are not even aware that the universe at the time of annihilation turns to ashes by the sparks of fire emanating from your eye. Actually, Shiva doesn't have to take much trouble to destroy the universe at the time of death. You know how he destroys? He comes as Kalagni Rudra. Kalagni Rudra actually emanates as the glance of Anantashesh. Anantashesh glances with his reddish eyes. When he becomes angry with all the living entities, that the living entities are all mischievously trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. And he is fed up with them because now the Kali Yugas are over now. Now the living entity has failed now, miserably failed. Now Ananta feels that they require some solid punishment now so that they can be reformed. So in great anger he emanates fire. So that glance of Anantashesh and the fire emanating from Anantashesh's mouth is actually Shiva. It's called Kalagni Rudra, it's called. So because the master and servant, they jointly destroy the universe. And then again the Satya Yuga will come again later on. So here they are saying that actually such kind of annihilation is very easy for you to perform. There is no difficulty, he is saying. And then 33rd verse. Yetvatma Rama Guru Birhidi Chintitangri. Dvandvam Charantamumaya Tapasabhitaptam. Katanta Ugra Parusham Niratam Smashane Tenuna Mutima Vidam Stabahata Lajaha Yeah, read the translation.
Exalted, self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world, think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty. Or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities.
Yeah. So there are people who misunderstand Shiva for two things. One for lust, one for anger. Lust means they think that Lord Shiva is flirting with Uma. Just like Chitraketu saw Uma sitting in the lap of Shiva and he laughed. And then he became Vritrasura. Is it not true? So, but Shiva is always undisturbed, dhira, to such a degree that he is Atma Rama Guru Bhir. He is guru of Atma Ramas. If Atma Ramas consider Shiva to be guru, how much bigger Atma Ram he must be. But foolish people pick faults with him because of Charantam Umaya, Tapasabhi Taptam. Those who are doing tapas, they will understand Lord Shiva's greatness. The another thing he is telling is anger. Sometimes people think that you destroyed the Daksha sacrifice using your gundas, like your what is his name? Veerabhadra and all the ghosts and spirits and hobgoblins. Because of you sending them and beating up all these people and all, people sometimes think you are anger personified, that you become angry. But such kind of understanding is saying is also foolishness, because you are actually Bhutanath and you are most merciful to all living entities in this world. So these are all hata lajjaha is telling in the last line, that these are all shameless people who criticize you. Although the intelligent people, they worship you. Even Atmaramas, they respect you, like that they are saying. Yeah. And then they are saying that nobody can understand you and Brahma cannot understand you. And we are all created by Brahma's sons, Marichi. Marichi is Brahma's son and we are all Marichi's sons. How can we understand you? So we cannot actually praise you properly. See, sometimes we are told to give an introduction about some great soul who has come to our temple. Many times we may not be aware to the extent of service that they have done. Correct, no? In ISKCON. And they may also be shy to tell about their own services. So oftentimes we end up introducing them in a very paltry way, meager way, without sufficiently glorifying them. Correct, no? Similarly, these people are praying in 35 also, you see. Etat param prapashyamo. 35. Na param te maheshwara. Vridanaya hi lokasya. Vyaktiste vyakta karmanaha. See, they are saying, oh great Lord, we don't understand your superior form. We only know that you, whose activities are hard to understand, you make your appearance for the happiness of the people. Actually, your activities, we cannot understand sufficiently. So, our glorification also is limited by our understanding, like that they are saying. So, this is actually humility of the devatas. Even when we praise our spiritual master or any Vaishnava, we should always tell them that, actually, whatever glorification I am giving of you is limited by my brain. One reason is I am unaware of your greatness. Another reason is I am incapable of understanding your greatness. Both ways. Sri Shuka Uvacha Tadviksha Vyasanam Tasam Kripaya Vrishapiditaha Sarva Bhuta Surat Deva Idam Aha Satim Priyam. See, Tad Viksha Vyasanam. He saw that poison coming up in the surface of the ocean. Kripaya Brishapiditaha. See, Brishapiditaha means he was afflicted out of compassion. See, this word, what kind of words are used in Bhagavatam? You see, you know, Brishapiditaha. He's saying, Kripaya. Similarly, following in footsteps of Shiva, we need a missionary zeal to preach and propagate Krishna consciousness. And what should be the basis of that missionary zeal? Two reasons. One is how much Srila Prabhupada in his old age has struggled, you know, to take this message to the foreign countries, spread the holy name all over the world, and despite his heart attacks. What kind of struggles he has undergone? That's one thing we could contemplate on. Another thing is, looking at the world around us, how the poor jivas are trying to delight in material commodities and they are not getting happiness. Repeatedly they are getting kicks by Maya. So, first of all, we should know that I am suffering in this world. We should have sympathy for ourselves first. And then when we take to Krishna consciousness seriously, then we can feel sympathy for others. Imagine, if I am myself chasing after Maya, will I be able to give Krishna to others? Ask this question to yourself. If I am myself attracted to Maya's glittering illusion, will I be able to convince the jivas, telling them that please give up the glittering illusion? They will tell you, Prabhuji, pahle aap chod do. Hum chodenge baad mein, pahle aap chodo pahle. They will tell us, no? So, we cannot tell them to give up something which we are holding on to. And how can we give up holding on to Maya? We have to realize that I am suffering in this world. We are suffering. How we are suffering? Prabhupada very graphically explained in his books about the adhyatmika, adhidevika, adhibhautika kleshas. How somebody may say my birth happened long ago and death will happen much later in future. I am in between. I don't feel much suffering. But at every moment Prabhupada showed how the living entity is living in shoka, moha and bhaya. Shoka of the past, moha of the present and bhaya of the future. So unless one can perceive janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, we will not want to get out of it. Our fear of maya will increase depending on our understanding of our illusion in which we are all placed in. Correct? No? Like if you are like Indra, who was a pig in the ditch and he was feeling very comfortable, although the ditch is the dirtiest place. Similarly, if we don't realize Maya's gifts to be dirty, good for nothing, we will not get out of the ditch of this material existence. Because this world is made in such a way, this samsara, you will see that we will be repeatedly tossed by raga and dvesha. You will see. For example, once a man becomes angry with his wife, get lost from here, I just don't want to see you. Then the wife goes out and she goes to her parents' home. After a week, there's a phone call from the husband. Hey, ajao, ajao. Then she says, no, I don't want to talk to you. Talk, she keeps it down. Then he talks to wife's mother and father. Please send her back. And they are asking, we heard that you drove her away. Yeah, I drove her away, but who will cook now? At home. Now I have to cook also and go to office also. Please send her back. So the samsara is made in such a way, you want to get rid of somebody and you can't be without them also. And you can't get rid of them also. So that is called samsara. Samsara is made in such a way that if you have it, you have trouble. By not having, you have trouble. Both ways. So in this way, one should see every situation in one's life is created. For example, you are traveling in a train, you see the pakoda is so nice smelling. But you buy and eat it, your stomach will be paining. If you don't eat it, your nose will be hankering. That is called samsara. Samsara means you feel attraction, when you try to consume, you suffer. So everything in this world is like that. And unfortunately, all things that are bad for us are very attractive. You will see that. How many of you like amras? See, everybody's hands are raised, you see. One time our brahmacharis were traveling in a train. Some place they went to Hyderabad or somewhere. Some congregation devotee wanted to give amras. So they brought, and these devotees are very fond of amras. So they gave them one big glass, thinking that these devotees will be very satisfied. But our devotees, after finishing one glass, they had aurek de do. Then they drank second one, third one. And those devotees were shocked and surprised. How can these fellows drink so much? See, drinking is easy, but the problem comes later. Next day morning, you go to bathroom. Big sound is coming from bathroom. Ah! Oh. Because when it comes from the backside, it's very painful. And these fellows didn't know. While going in the mouth, it is very tasty. While coming from behind, it is extremely painful. You see, increases the heat in the belly. So, the amras is a heavenly pleasure kept in the earthly planet, it is said. Similarly, all the pleasures in this world are enjoyable in the beginning, but they become poison at the end. Correct, no? So one should understand the danger of samsara and understand that although it appears like pleasure in the beginning, it ends in pain. So let me think of the consequences of my action first before acting in this world. And one should, and then when we look at the other living beings, I am suffering and they are also suffering. So just as I am trying to liberate myself by taking to Krishna shelter, let me help them also. That's why he is using the word kripaya, brishapiditaha, he is saying. Lord Shiva is desperately wanting to save the jivas. And this quality can be seen in all Vaishnavas. The crest jewel quality of a Vaishnava is to save the suffering souls. Sarva bhuta suhrid deva. He is a well-wisher of all living entities. Idam aha satim priyam. He told his wife Sati like this. Shri Shiva Vuvacha. Aho bata bhavan yetat. Prajanam pasya vaishasam. Kshirodamato matanodbhutat. Kalakutat upastitham. Bhavani, just see this, all this praja, all these devatas, pashya, look at them, how they are all suffering terribly because of kshira, uda, mathano, udbhutat, Udbhuta, Udbhuta means to come out, to be born. By the churning of the milk ocean, the halahal is born. The name of the halahal is Kalakota. It has come to the surface now, and all the ajivas are in danger. Asam prana paripsunam videyam abhayam hime etavan ki prabhor artho yaddina paripalanam. Translation of that? 38.
It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly, it is the duty of the master to protect his suffering dependents.
Yeah. Pranai svaihi pranina panti sadava kshanabangurai baddhavaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya. Yeah.
People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity toward one another. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them.
Now at this point, Parvati may say, you want to protect the jivas? You are an Atmaram. Just be satisfied with yourself. And there is no use protecting all these useless jivas. Anyway, they are all fighting with one another in this world. Envious living entities. And they want to enjoy some gratification. Marne do unko. Huh? She can say like that, no? But for that, Shiva is telling, no. I agree that they are bewildered by Maya. And they also have animosity towards one another. And if we don't show them mercy, then where is the hope for them? See, sometimes a neophyte devotee looks at a non-devotee enjoying material life. And a newer devotee becomes envious of him. Like say you are going in the train, a non-devotee is buying vada pav and eating. And vada pav along with the chili powder is fragrantly smelling. When you get it, then you think, you know, rascals, what a fool. Buying that which is not prasadam also, and eating such chili powder, it will go in his belly and burn his belly. Nicely let him suffer, fool. Why you become angry? Because we are not allowed to eat. Understand? So this is called as envy for the, you know, conditioned souls. We should give up. Like our college students sometimes come and say, you know, like one devotee boy was telling, Prabhuji, I saw one boy going with his girlfriend in the bike. Zoom, he was going like this. He said, I was thinking, rascal, you are enjoying like this. You will go under a lorry, you see. So why is he failing? Because I can't do that. Correct, no? So, when we see conditioned souls enjoying life in materialistic ways, we become envious due to our neophyte nature. But when we become advanced Vaishnavas, we don't feel envy. We feel sympathy. We feel them, oh, these are naughty souls, in increasing their sufferings. So, let me take pity on them. Like if a doctor, sometimes you go to a doctor, you know, your hand is paining, back is paining, something is paining. He gives you injection and cures you. Correct, no? On the other hand, in schools, you can see when a teacher is taking a stick and beating the, you know, students, you know, a student will, then he will show this hand. You have seen that? Then all other students will be laughing, correct, no? Until that turn comes, you know? Similarly, but here you find Lord Shiva, despite the animosity of the living entities, not only towards one another, the jivas have animosity towards Vaishnavas also. Like you see, Madai took that pot and was trying to hit Lord Nityananda. That's why we say, Marikheye Premadiye. Vaishnavas take the risk of even being beaten up by other people to give Krishna consciousness. Jesus was put on the cross simply because he was preaching. You can see. Haridas Thakur was beaten up in 21 marketplaces because he was preaching the glories of Supreme Lord. You will see. So in preaching, we should never get tired, or we should never feel disheartened when somebody insults us. That's why he's saying that certainly they should be protected. Pumsaha kripayato bhadre sarvatma priyate harihi prite harau bhagavati. priyeham sacharacharah tasmadidam garam bhunje prajanam swastirastume.
My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison for all living entities may thus become happy because of me.
See, this is the verse which says, Sarvatma Priyate Hari. So, in case I take this poison to save the living entities, Lord Hari will become pleased. So, for Krishna's pleasure, I am doing this service. Like that he is saying. This is one punching proof to show that Shiva considers himself subordinate to Vishnu. There is another place you can read this verse in 11th canto, when Markandeya Rishi is sitting and doing penance. Shiva and Parvati are sitting on a bull and they are coming, and then Parvati is showing to Shiva, hey Shiva, look at this fellow Markandeya, you know how he is, his body is shining due to great austerity, he has so much tejas in his body, and how pure hearted he is. Come, let us go and give our darshan to him and give him some benediction. Like that Parvati is suggesting. Generally the mothers are more sympathetic. So Parvati is welcoming Shiva, and then Shiva, both of them go to him, and then you know how Shiva makes him open up the eyes. Shiva enters his chitta, enters the chitta of Markandeya Rishi and gives him information that I have arrived here. So in his chitta, television of his chitta, he could see Shiva and Parvati sitting on a bull. Then he opened his eyes. Because great souls, you cannot make them open their eyes very easily. So then Markandeya offers obeisances and glorifies Shiva like anything. You will read that. And then after glorifying, when Shiva is asking, what do you want? Please tell me something. There Markandeya is telling, you know, you are the greatest amongst the Vaishnava devotees. So because of you being the purest of the devotees, I beg you that help me to get samadhi in the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Like that he is asking Shiva there. In that verse, there is one verse, Harirhi Nirguna Sakshat. There is one verse. Lord Hari is beyond all the three gunas. Although Shiva is manager of one of the gunas. Like that it comes. So that is another place where Markandeya clearly reveals the position of Shiva. And this is another place where Shiva's position is clearly revealed. Pum sakrapayato badre sarvatma priyate hari. Like that he says. Now we are concluding the chapter. Shri Shuka Vavacha Evam Amantraya Bhagavan Bhavani Vishwa Bhavanaha Tadvisham Jagdumare Arebhe Prabhavagnya Vamodata. See, Prabhava Prabhava Gyan Va Amodata, which means Bhavani was aware of the power of Lord Shiva, that he can drink the poison and still be alive. So she Anumodata, she gave, she was all right, she agreed, gave her permission. Tatakaratali Kritya Vyapi Hala Halam Visham Abakshayan Mahadevaha Kripaya Bhuta Bhavanaha Tasya Pidarshayamasa Swaviryam Jalagalmashaha Yachakara Gale Neelam Tacha Sadhor Vibhushanam. So Lord Shiva, who is Bhuta Bhavanaha, very kripaya, very compassionately, took the whole quantity of poison into his palm. He made a halahal concentrate, he made. Just like your rasna concentrate you have in small bottle. Like that he made halahal concentrate. And he drank it. And then what happened after that? Tasyapi darshayamasa swaviryam jalakalmashaha. So the poison manifested its potency on Shiva by making his throat blue. So he came to be called as Nilakantha, like that. And that became Sadhur Vibhushanam. That became a Vibhushan for Lord Shiva. It became Alankar. When people see Shiva's Kantatabe Neela, everyone glorifies. Look at this most compassionate Shiva, how he protected all the Jivas by having his Neelakanta. Like that. Yachakara Gale Gale Neelam. Tacha Sador Vibhushanam. This is a very important verse 44, all of you repeat. Tapyante Lokatapena Sadavaha Prayashojanaha Paramaradhanam Taddhi Purushasya Kilatmanaha.
It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart.
So the saintly people, they always are willing to suffer because of others suffering. Like for example, if the disciples commit sinful activities, the guru suffers because of that. Guru suffers diseases in his body, he suffers with bad dreams also. So how this can be understood? We may say guru is completely pure. And if disciple commits a problem, then how can guru suffer? Srila Prabhupada told the Christians, are aap log paap karoge? Aur paap ka karma phal guru bhugatega? Prabhupada argued with them that you will do sinful activities and then your Jesus will take everything. On Sunday you go and pray to him that, you know, you take all of our reactions and go back and continue your sinful activities from Monday onwards, Monday to Saturday. There Prabhupada says, if a disciple is sincere, serious, without ulterior motives, serving Jesus, but by unpremeditated slip he falls down, then Jesus will take darshan, or Christ will take darshan. But it's not that, you know, Guru or Krishna are like a sin dumping ground. You go and dump the sin on them, come back and continue sin, you know, again you dump, that is unacceptable. Like that Prabhupada explains there. Similarly, after initiation, all of us, in our own way, we are all vulnerable jivas in this world. We may slip from the platform of purity. But if one is not making strenuous efforts to keep one's status quo pure by following the four regulative principles as strictly as possible and chanting the holy names attentively, so that inattentive chanting also plunges us into maya, you see. So attentive chanting, by this, by keeping ourselves pure, we bring good name to Guru also. We bring good reputation to Guru. And by slipping from our purity, then we give suffering to Guru also. Because Guru has accepted us and handed us over to Krishna, so he takes our reactions. And even as counselors and leaders, people have experience. If a counselee is undergoing some problems, and solving the problem of the counselee, they also get lot of stress and lot of poison. So counselors have to be like a shock absorber. And Guru is like the ultimate shock absorber. So, similarly, tapyante loka tapena sadavaha prayasho janaha. In this world it is seen. Paramaradhanam taddhi. But giving shelter to such suffering souls and elevating them in Krishna consciousness, though it is a very troublesome thing, painful thing, somebody may say, hare chalo, just kudka bhajan karo. Just chant and die, you know. These jivas are all naughty and they are not going to be reformed. No matter how much you, if you chase after them, they become angry at you. If you leave them, they go to maya. Then what has to be done? So he says that one has to tolerate their mischievous nature and still liberate them and deliver them and by elevating them. And that is considered paramaradhanam taddhi, he says. And last verse. Praskannam pibatah paner yat kinchit jagruhus matat. Oh, this is 46, okay. Vrishchikahi vishaushadyo dandashukascha ye pare. So the other creatures like, you know, the scorpions, cobras, poisonous plants, they took advantage of the little bit of poison that splashed from Shiva's hand down. They picked up. And that's why they also have a poison. In this way, seeing the glorious act of, generous act of Lord Shiva, the Lord of the Devatas, Bhavani, Lord Brahma, Vishnu and other people in general, everybody praised Lord Shiva for doing this great act of accepting the halahala. So we have completed this chapter. So next time when we come, we will go to the 8th chapter, where we will cover the those two themes which I told you. Rama evaluating the qualities of different jivas, and also the demons. The behavior of the demons also comes in the chapter. And if time permits, we will go to the 9th chapter also. But at least the 8th chapter will finish next time when you all come. Kantrakshimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. The essential point in Kurma? Which one? Three qualities. It's a Duranta Viryam. Yes, Duranta Viryam and Avitata Abhisandhihi means his desires are all immediately fulfilled. And what are the another third qualities? Vignesha Vidhi means there is no problem which he cannot solve. For every problem he has immediate solution. So in this way, Lord comes in various avatars. Another thing was the vastness of his body. From which you understand that there is nothing that Lord cannot do. So that type of faith a devotee should have. So that was about Kurma we learned. Then what is the later lesson we learned today? After that, we came to Shiva, correct? We came to who? Ajita, what did he do? Second part we learnt about Lord Ajita letting the demons use the mouth first. He gave them the tail and he picked up the mouth so that they will demand for the mouth and then he gave them. So the dealings of the demigods and demons, that also we discussed for some time today. And then the last part we discussed about Shiva's compassion. Shiva the Parama Vaishnava. How he is one with the Supreme Lord, he is also different from the Supreme Lord and he is extremely compassionate. All Vaishnavas in this world, despite the mischievous nature of the jivas to fight with one another, still one should not envy the living entities. Rather, one should be sympathetic to the living entities in distributing Krishna consciousness. So that was the very amazing messages for us, for practicing devotees, we get in this beautiful pastime of Samudra Marthan Lila. Thank you.
So we thank Prabhuji by three times, loudly chanting. Yeah.